Thank you so much for tuning in to another Outlet at Home. I am so excited today because we have begun our very first step in what it looks like to regather again. These last 6 and 7 months really have showed us that we're able to gather even if we have to maintain distance. And the online campus has been amazing and it is not going anywhere. But today, I am so excited that we are here with a live audience. And so I don't know about y'all, but I'm already a little happy. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. I want to begin a new series that has been on my heart for some time that will really examine the difference between the opportunities that we're given and the opportunities that we realize. But at the end of a realized opportunity, I just don't want you to experience what God has for you in a fleeting moment, but I want you to enjoy and expand even further the plan and purpose of God for your life. So I'm going to encourage you to buckle up and get ready for the next few weeks as we really dig into the scriptures to find out how do we unlock God's plan for our life. So in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16 in the New Living Translation, it says, "So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift." Underline free gift or highlight the word free gift. It says, "And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe." That is what the scripture means when God told him, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. Someone say or type in grace. In verse 18, it says, "Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God said to him, 'That's how many descendants you will have.' And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb." Someone say or type in grit. Verse 20, "Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God." Verse 21, "He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises." Let me read that again. It says, "He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises." Someone say or type in grow. This new series that we are going to begin today is simply entitled Grace, Grit, Grow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're going to be with us. And I thank you that you are here with us right now. There is no distance in prayer. There's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. So even as we're talking right now, God, I'm asking you to cause your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts to hear what you're saying to us today. Speak to us. Father, for those who are experiencing any hurt, any loss, any symptoms of sickness and disease, your power is there to heal, to set free, to make right, and to deliver. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to give you all a statement that we are going to hang on for the next few weeks as we're going through this series. And that is, grace gets you to the door. Grit gets you through the door. But growth keeps you in the room. Let me say that again. Grace gets you to the door. Grit gets you through the door. But growth is what keeps you in the room. I really want us to get beyond being excited about opening conversations. I don't know about you, but there have been times, and even in my life, where I get excited about the prospect of what will be. I get so excited that I forget the grit necessary to actually realize the opportunities that are laid before me. And not only are we to have the grit necessary, but then, have you ever been there or been on a job or even in your life, you've had a great opportunity, but because your capacity wasn't where it needed to be, you weren't able to continue to sustain where you were. It's time for us to operate in grace, to have some grit, and to commit to growth. I also want to ask you all this question as well. Do you remember the first time like you really gave your heart to God? Like, for real? Now, I grew up in church my entire life, as it were, but I didn't really like get saved until I was like 18. I'm just going to put it out there. When I was actually in school, away from the rule of if you're in my house, then you have to go to church. And it was right around 18 that I can remember having a moment of seeing myself where I wasn't necessarily living like I thought I should live or living like I knew I should be living. And I could just experience God's love coming in a very dark moment in my life. It reminded me of the story of John Newton. And for those who don't know John Newton, he was the one who penned the hymn Amazing Grace. And he wrote this in 1772. But what was unique about John Newton is that he was actually a slave owner at the time that he wrote this song. This song, Amazing Grace, was a response to his own struggles and to his own Christian conversion experience. And so I wanted to go deeper and find out what about this man's life caused him to write a song that we still sing hundreds of years later. Well, John Newton, when he was a young adult, he actually got lost at sea and he was adrift. And so when he was adrift, he prayed to God, like, Lord, could someone please come and find me? And it wasn't too long after that his father commissioned a naval journey so that they would be able to rescue him. And when he was rescued, he was excited about being rescued, but on their way back to shore, they faced a horrendous storm. And this storm began to tear up the ship that was sent to rescue him. And in that moment, he prayed to God yet again, if there's some way that you could save us, please do so. And he said, miraculously, cargo that was in the ship automatically went over to plug in the holes that were causing the ship to sink. And he said, from that experience, he believed that God was real. Have you been there in your life where you know without a shadow of a doubt that if God didn't come through on some things in your life, that you know because of that, that God is real. You know because of that, that he hears your prayers, even when you're not in the best place that you should be. So that event caused him to believe, but his lifestyle didn't catch up to that belief for many years later. And that's where we find the grace of God. You see, we could believe in the things of God. We could believe in what God has done, but there, if we're honest, there are some areas that we still need his grace to help us in. And so in writing Amazing Grace, this is after this experience at sea. This is after he had a stroke in his life. This is now after he became an ordained Anglican priest. But as he began to think about the grace of God, it wasn't but maybe 26 or so years after that the grace of God transformed John Newton to the point that he went from owning slaves to now being a part of the abolitionist movement to stop slavery in British colonies. See, the grace of God is going to work with us. The grace of God is going to help us as long as we keep focusing on that. And I want to encourage anyone who feels like I may not be all that I am created to be right now. I feel like there's more room for me to grow. I feel like there's more for me to realize. I want to encourage you that the grace of God will stick with you as long as you focus on it, as long as your eyes stay fixed. You see, in Romans chapter 4, verses 16, we see Paul talking to us about the life of Abraham. And just for future reference, if you go in your Bible to Genesis chapter 12, all the way to chapter 22, you're going to see the story of the life of Abraham. That number one, this man was not perfect. That God just selected someone where he could show his goodness to. And I believe God has done that with our lives. We always ask, like, God, why me? Why did you choose me? Well, I like to reposition that question and say, why not you? Why shouldn't God choose you? And when God chooses you, it means that he's committed to you, that his grace will not leave. And I love how Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16 that this grace that we have is not based on whether or not we do all the right things. I'm so glad about that, because how many of you all have been there where you say, God, listen, if you get me out of this, I promise I ain't going to do that no more. I promise. It's the last time. There might have been some college nights, might have been some grown-up nights, might have been some nights you're a little older thinking you were in college, and you said, Lord, if you could just get me out of this, I promise I won't do that again. But yet you find yourself doing it yet again. But he says that his grace is committed to you. So when you go back and look at John Newton's song, Amazing Grace, now you understand the context of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, similar to John Newton. Maybe we were lost at sea to our own sins. Maybe we were weighted down by the weight of depression, by the fears, the anxieties, the thoughts, the what ifs. And he said that, but now am found, just like John Newton's father found him adrift at sea. God found each of us adrift at sea when we weren't even thinking about him. God was still thinking about us, and because he had us on his mind, he was able to show us, as John Newton said, I was blind, but now I see. The things that I didn't know were hurting me, the things I didn't know that were stopping me, God was helping me to see again. And so when we look in Romans 4 and 16 and we go back to this promise that God has for your life, is received by faith, but it's a free gift. So God's plan for your life is activated through your response to the free gift that he's said and promised over your life. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And I want us, just for the next few moments that we have together, to get a foundation of the grace of God. Because if we don't properly have a foundation with the grace of God, we will grace, but then without grace, we won't operate in grit, we'll operate in grind, we'll operate in struggle, we'll operate in toil. When in fact, the plan for your life, when you get into alignment with it, it's almost like things just begin to fall into place. You might be working, you might be doing the necessary effort, but it's like it's effortless from the standpoint of there's no toil or unnecessary struggle associated to us. But we need to understand the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, New Living Translation said, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. No good thing in your life can you take credit for. In fact, it should be a practice of ours that every day, God, I give you the praise. I give you the glory for breath inside of my body. I give you the praise. I give you the glory for the good that I've seen in my life, the promotions that you have, the finances that you have, the connections that you have. All are a result of God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor in your life. The fact that we are all sitting in this moment today, the fact that we are all connecting online, shows us that God's favor is real. It says salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. And when it talks about salvation in Scripture, it's talking about sin, deliverance from sin, healing from sickness, and being bought back or made free from having to live in poverty. When you see salvation, it's talking about being freed from sin, being freed from sickness, and being freed from having to live in poverty. What is poverty? Not having what you need when you need it. So it's saying all of this is a part of the free gift or the charis of God. It's not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. What I love about this word masterpiece is God has made each of us with unique skills, with unique giftings, with unique callings. And one thing about your calling is you don't have to worry about someone else stepping in and taking what God has for you. It frees you to be only who you can be and no one else can be. When you're God's masterpiece and how he's made you, what others think is easy for you to do, it's because there's a grace on you to do it. Someone say and type in, I'm grace for this. Don't take for granted the things that you do naturally, that you're a natural gatherer, that you're a natural planner, that you're a natural business developer, that you're a natural encourager. There's a grace on your life where if others think it's easy, it's because God has favored you. And because God has favored you, we can't think that it's us that's causing us to be in these type of places. The fact that I'm talking to you all today, I'm having a conversation with words, but in my mind, I'm tripping out because I'm like, Lord, I know good and well that if it was up to me, I couldn't understand this Bible the way I'm understanding it. But there's a grace for me to communicate God's plan for our lives. Paul, I love what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. When we talk about this grace, this charis in the Greek, this free gift, I want you to understand that there is no other religious thought, past or present, that contains emphasis on divine grace as does a relationship with God. Grace is a relation to God's activity that is promoted by God's nature. God's nature is love. And because he's love, he can do nothing else but be gracious to us. He can do nothing else but be good to us. And the grace of God is the dimension of divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference, human rebellion, with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. In other words, you cannot exhaust the grace on your life. I don't care how long you think you have taken to get to what you need to do. You cannot exhaust the grace on your life. You cannot use it up. In fact, his word in Lamentations says his graces, his mercies are new every single morning. So the day that you wake up and listen to this, there is more grace than what you need to accomplish what you need to get done through the day. You're not going to disqualify yourself because of bad behavior. You're just going to slow yourself down, but you're still qualified. You're still gifted. You've got to get up. And God is calling you to do what he's asking you to do. Number one, that's out of your natural reach. And number two, it's bigger than you could have ever imagined, because when you see God's grace work through you, you will realize it's not me, but it's grace that lives in me. As we close in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, we'll finish reading it in the New Living Translation. It says, but whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out his special favor on me and not without results. Here's the key with grace. I want you to look at this. It says, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. So with this grace, the appreciation to your grace is your commitment to having grit or resolve to pull out the giftings that are on the inside of you. Paul didn't say, I'm working so that I can get more grace to outwork everybody else. That's where grind comes in. That's where hashtag team no sleep comes in, because it's trying to earn something that has been freely given. But because this grace is freely given, we should wake up every day to say, in the words of Hamilton, because I probably watch it at least once a day, I'm not gonna throw away my shot. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just being who you are in our lives. I thank you for just beginning to show us your plan that is revealed through your activity toward us, which is your grace. Father, your grace is inexhaustible. Father, your grace can never run out. It's in a super abundance. It's unique to our relationship with you. So Lord, if there's anyone who is under the sound of my voice and feels like they've done something to disqualify themselves, Lord, today, as we're praying together, may you encourage their heart and let them know that there's still a grace on their life. There's still unmerited favor that they still haven't walked in. God, I'm asking you to be with them during this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, right now on the screen, there's a line that's coming up that says simply, "I prayed with you." And if you could just text us at the number 770-667-4899. We are standing by right now to just follow up with you, to hold you accountable, because we want you to live every day understanding that this grace is a free gift given to us by God who loves us. Amen. Well, right now we're going to receive our offering on today, and I want to thank each and every person for your time, for your love, for your service, for your support. It's because of you that we are able to carry this message truly to the uttermost parts of the world. We're able to strengthen organizations. We're able to encourage leaders. We're able to bless families, communities. All of that is because you have communicated through worship concerning your giving, and we want to thank you for that. So right now there's some information coming up on screen where it shows you the two ways to give to the outlet. You can give by texting the number 73256 and the letters TOC. When you text that number, there's a link that's going to come back to you. Just complete that link. And if you want to give online, going to theoutletcommunity.com/give and partner with us in this moment as we worship the Lord in our giving. And we cannot thank you enough for your generosity. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being a part of today's Outlet at Home experience. I have one more announcement that I want to make to everyone on the camera today. As you can see, we are now taking our first step toward what it looks like to regather. And I believe the Lord has asked me to spend time with those who will serve as leaders on our core team here at the Outlet community. And what is our core team? Our core team are just individuals, whether you live in the Metro Atlanta area or you're even online and you want to help us with your time, your talent, your giftings to continue to spread the message of Jesus Christ. And so we're right now getting ready to re-engage our core team, our leaders, those who are serving at the Outlet community. And if you're ready to get back in the game, no matter what it is, if it's music, if it's social media, if it's marketing, if it's you're a part, you want to be an online host, you want to lead a life group, you want to hold others accountable, whatever it is to help us get the message of God out, I'm asking you right now to text "I'm ready" to the number 770-667-4899. For the rest of 2020, we will be committed to helping to raise up our leadership and create the foundation that God has asked us to create to be the church he's asking us to be. So if you're out there and you're like, listen, I've been sitting too long. It's been a long year. I'm ready to get back in the game. No matter what it is, again, safety first and whatever you're comfortable with. But if you're ready to get back in the game, text "I'm ready." And we look forward to following up with you and getting our teams back together so that no matter how it looks, whether you're here in person or whether you're online, wherever you are in the world, we are going to spread the message of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for being with us on today. Let me pray for you as we dismiss. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, may he guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. We thank you for these things, Father. We say shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. This shall be the best week of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Now, this is exactly what people mean when they say this was an on-time word. Thank you, Pastor Vince, for letting God speak to and through you. One way that the outlet will take part in this year's election is by creating a fascinating voting video with the outlet community. So if you would like to be featured in the video, send a short video of yourself or family and friends saying the word vote to info@theoutletcommunity.com by Sunday, October 25th. We look forward to seeing your videos. Also, early voting has begun in many areas. If you are voting in person, take advantage of this time with less people in line and shorter wait times by early voting. That's exactly what I'll be doing. Also, make sure you dial into our e-groups after service to connect with the outlet community. The information is right on your screen. I truly hope you enjoyed today's outlet experience. We will see you next week, and thanks for tuning in.